our New Testament reading for this first Sunday of Advent from Romans 13. Do all this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord. You probably know some of the Grimm Brothers fairy tales. I think they were published in 1812 in Germany. There's one of these Brothers Grimm fairy tales that's entitled Hans in Luck. I had never heard of this one before. Any of you? Hans in Luck. In this little fairy tale, Hans has been working for his master for 7 years. He's ready to return home, and so he tells his master, I'm done working. I've fulfilled my commitment. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready for my reward. His master, deeply appreciative of Hans' hard work for those 7 long years, grants to Hans a piece of gold as big as his head. And with this giant lump of gold, Hans sets out for home. But the lump of gold proves large and heavy and hard to carry. So when Hans meets a man on a horse, Hans mentions that he sure would love to have a horse to ride home. And so the man asks him if he'd like to trade his lump of gold for the horse. And Hans says, yeah, so he does. Then on the rest of the way home, he trades the horse for a cow, the cow for a pig, the pig for a goose. And finally, he trades the goose for a couple of heavy grindstones. When he stopped for a drink at a well not far from home, he accidentally dropped the heavy grindstones down into that deep well. And then here's how the fairy tale ends. When Hans saw the stone sinking down to the bottom, he jumped for joy, then knelt down, and with tears in his eyes, thanked God for having delivered him in so good a way from those heavy stones, which had been the only things that troubled him. There is no man under the sun so fortunate as I, Hans cried out. And with a light heart and free from every burden, Hans now ran until he was home with his mother. End of story. That's a weird little story, isn't it? The story about Hans and his luck, Hans in luck, is a very short little thing. It's only a couple of pages long, but when you're reading it, if you don't know the punchline, you're thinking the whole way through, this Hans is a real dummy. He earns a fortune, and then he keeps making one stupid decision after another. He keeps letting every person he meets get the best of him. Every transaction lessens the worth of what he has. He keeps trading down, trading down. He winds up with nothing after all those 7 years of work. And so at the end, we expect poor Hans to bury his head in his hands, crying in remorse at his own foolishness. But that's not what happens. At the end, Hans finds his way back home. That is, in the fairy tale, a way of saying he comes to himself. He discovers his real life, quote, with a light heart and free from every burden, and he thanks God. Now, I tell that little story, that weird little story, here at the beginning of Advent, just in case there might be some of us here who would like to go back home. Just in case there are some of us who would like to rediscover this holy season, the lightheartedness and the joy that God offers to all of us if we're willing to subtract and to simplify. Traditionally, Advent, this season of preparation for Christmas, has been a holy time as we get ready to rejoice over the good news of Jesus' birth. And yet the typical American December, I'm speaking for me, maybe this will be true for some of you, feels far from holy or sacred. It feels busy, distracted, expensive, and stressful. Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So my question for us today as we set out into this season is this: how can we clear some space in our hearts and lives this season? Can we simplify? Can we minimize a little bit? Can we create some boundaries so that we can protect what's most valuable, what's most important to us at this time of year? Can we somehow declutter this month so that we can give our best energy and our best attention to the lively hope that Jesus brings into the world and into our own lives? Well, we often are reading the beginning of Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel when we start Advent, but the lectionary today also offered this reading from Romans. And in this reading, Paul, the Apostle Paul, offers us two connected images. The first image, waking from sleep, and the second image, getting dressed for the day. And these images come to us with a note of urgency. Get up! Wake up! It's time! And it's later than you think. There's no time to piddle. There's no time to mess around with anything that's not essential. Time to get up and get dressed. So subtract whatever it is you don't really need to be doing. Cancel the stuff you don't have time for this morning. Get rid of anything that's getting in your way and costing you time. I occasionally have nightmares that I've overslept, that I'm in danger of missing some vital appointment or some crucial meeting. Has this happened to any of you? This happens to me on a regular basis. That says something to you about my inner life, probably. And of course, we've all had the experience of not just having the nightmare, but of actually waking up much too late and really needing to hustle and get out of the house that morning to wherever we're needing to go. There isn't always time for everything. When you wake up late, you have to make some quick decisions. Do I have time to shower? Am I really going to brush my teeth? Should I grab fresh clothes out of the closet or just throw on the clothes already lying by my bed? Do I have time for coffee? And if the answer to that is no, then I can tell you, for me, this is not going to be a good day. Well, this is the season of Advent, the season of watching, waiting for God's coming to us in fresh and surprising ways. And the Apostle Paul says this new reality is right in front of us. There's a new day dawning, the sun's cresting over the horizon in the east, and the arrival of God's great love for us in Jesus Christ is here now. And it's time to get up and get dressed. All of us have lived through a few Advent seasons. Maybe some of them you've been more alert than others, but some of us have had a few Advents. A lot of us have had more than a few Advents to live through. And all of us know full well that this season, this allegedly holy season, can very easily slide past us without much notice. There's nothing magical about these traditional seasons marked on our church calendars. They can pass by us without anything interesting, without anything new happening in us or around us. In other words, it's quite easy for us to sleepwalk our way through this month, just like we sleepwalk through much of our lives. The Apostle Paul says, it doesn't have to be that way. With God's help, we can live a life that's fully awake. Now, what would that feel like? To wake up, to really be awake to this good news of God's love for all the world in Jesus Christ. To be fully awake, to get dressed for the day, and to walk right out into that cresting sun. Well, according to Paul, it would be a life that was fully alert, all the senses activated, a life attuned to the newness of this gentle light. To wake from sleep, it's to register really what's happening, to be aware of what's going on around you and in you. Waking up means you're aware of your own desires, awake to the intensity that drives you towards a life of deep joy and contentment and gratitude and kindness and service. What makes this so hard is that many of us have blunted or blocked or stunted what we most want. Or we don't quite know what we want. So as we begin this Advent season, let's be honest, we have found lots of different ways to deaden our desires, to distract ourselves from what we really most want. That's why we have this sin talk in our reading today. Paul warns us about the deeds of darkness. Paul points out some of the common ways that we refuse to wake up and pay attention to the glory of the world around us. Chief among these strategies, says Paul, are all the different ways we busy ourselves and distract ourselves from the real matter at hand. We keep ourselves preoccupied in lots of different ways so that we can avoid the burning question, what is it that I want? And what would my life look like if I were fully awake, fully alive? So get up and get dressed, says Paul. Don't wear the things that weigh you down. Don't put on clothes that don't fit you any longer. Paul imagines a variety of different ways that we waste our time and dull our senses and distract ourselves. He talks about partying and drinking too much. He talks about relying on things that you can get addicted to, drugs and alcohol and sex that we can use to distract ourselves. He says don't put on clothes that damage and harm your relationships, things like quarreling and dissension and jealousy. Get dressed and put on the new life that God offers to us in Jesus Christ, and subtract anything that gets in the way so that you can get to what matters. Now, I haven't said anything yet about a reading from Isaiah, but that reading from the prophet reminds us that the Advent season is a wonderful time for us also to address the anger and hatred and violence and revenge fantasies in our own hearts. Isaiah invites us to dream of a world in which wars and hostilities are overcome, in a world full of different kinds of people coming together as God's one beloved family. Isaiah invites us to dream of a world in which the lust for dominance and violence is washed out of our attitudes and outlooks on life. Back in the middle of the past century, the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr pointed out how often people like us often hide and disguise our hatred and our aggression in our political views. His point was that people who are kind and caring on the personal and interpersonal level can often shift their secret anger and hostility to some higher level of community life. Now, when we do this, it allows us, it's a kind of a wonderful trick, it allows us to pretend that we're really not full of violence. After all, we would never hurt or harm or violate someone we know personally. And yet, as Niebuhr's story goes, we often support policies at the larger level, community level, or the national level, that do enormous harm to other people, other vulnerable people. For example, I know all of you pretty well, and I think none of you would ever walk up to the front of a long line at a restaurant. There's a long line. People have been waiting for hours. None of you would walk up to the front of that line and announce to everyone else there in the line, "I want to be first." You wouldn't do that. I know you. And yet, Reinhold Niebuhr helps us understand how that secret desire to be first, to be dominant over others, can easily disguise itself in our support for policies that promote our welfare at the expense of others. Friends, the God who arrives in our midst as the baby who grows to become Jesus from Nazareth, this God invites us to dream of and work towards a nonviolent world. And I know that the work of turning our weapons into useful tools, that wonderful image from Isaiah, that will never happen unless all of us use this holy season to begin to deal with the poisonous anger towards and fear of others that often lurks in our own hearts. During college, I lived in a dormitory. On our dormitory floor, there was just one bathroom. It gives me shivers just to think of it now. It's hard for me to share a bathroom with my spouse, let alone 40 guys in a college who aren't very hygienic. It's gross. I once discovered a roll of yellow caution tape. I had an idea. I put it across one of the stalls on the end with a sign that said, "Out of order." And for a couple of glorious weeks, I had that stall all to myself. Anyway, that wasn't the point of my story. The reason I'm telling you about my college dormitory bathroom is that one morning I walked into the bathroom and used one of the urinals. There was someone else a couple of urinals down from me, He was there a very long time, and I finally figured out that he had fallen asleep with his head leaning against the wall above the urinal. I woke him up. My point is, we can sleep through almost anything if we're not careful. The good news this Christmas season is simple. It's all about incarnation. That word just means enfleshment. This is the story of God's taking on flesh in our midst, God's willingness to be right here with us in the ordinariness of our fragile, vulnerable, anxious lives. God loves us so much that God comes to meet us in the life of Jesus from Nazareth. And God's love is actively at work, knitting people together in a new kind of community, full of care for one another across all kinds of barriers and differences. God's love is moving people from fear and defensiveness towards something new that looks like open-heartedness and hospitality and kindness and care. So, what do you need to subtract this season? What's getting in your way right now? What's tangling your feet when you're ready to take off running? And how can you simplify things this season? My prayer is that we will make the most of this holy time, this Advent season. We won't ever get this particular chance. We won't ever get this particular Advent back again. We don't get do-overs. So let's make it count. So if your month, as you look at the month ahead, right, if that's clogged and congested with all sorts of obligations and events, this morning you may need to pray for the courage and the discernment to pick a few things that you need to say no to, if that's your challenge this month. If you and your family have gotten into patterns of entertaining and distracting yourselves by playing happily the role of the American consumer, buying lots of stuff that you and others don't really need, then this month you may need to find ways to simplify your life financially, simplify the money you spend. If your life feels cluttered and you feel overwhelmed by stuff you've accumulated, you might need to start giving some stuff away and clearing it out and getting rid of it. I don't know what you need this Advent, but I invite you to just think about what you might subtract. Okay? So I've decided on a couple of things for myself personally this Advent. First thing is, I'm going to limit my time on my phone. Not to nothing. I'm just going to spend less time on my phone this month. Phones are fine. And often I'm reading things that are quite profound on my phone. But I need less time on my phone. And I want to spend less time on my phone so I can make more time for other things that are also very important to me. So that's one thing I'm working on during Advent. The second thing is, we moved into our house a year ago, and you know, you have these decisions where, like, what is this? Where does it go? I'm not sure. All of that, whatever we didn't have a space for, went into my closet. And I'm also a little messy, so there's some of it's my issue. But I'm going to clean out my closet and give away a lot of stuff that we don't use and don't need, and a lot of the clothes that I don't wear. So these little things might not seem all that spiritual or holy, and that's okay. These are small steps that I can take to help me move in interesting directions as I think about what I want more of in my life. They can clear a space in my own life so that I have time and energy to respond to God's arrival, not with stress and anxiety, but with wonder, contentment, and joy. So friends, this season, there's something coming to birth in you. There's some kind of aliveness, some kind of energy that wants to surge through your life, connecting you with your deepest desires, connecting you with other people, and connecting you with the whole world that God loves as it shines with the glory of God's arrival in Jesus. So if there's something getting in between you and the life to which God is calling you, subtract it. Get rid of it. Let's all take that odd little road traveled by Hans in Luck, the road of finding more life, by getting rid of all the stuff we don't need. Amen.